You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's one of the many tough questions asked by our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, today as we open our hearts and Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host on our five-year journey through God's entire Word. So as you find your seat on the Bible bus and find your place in God's Word, here are a few encouraging letters from those sitting around us on the Bible bus. First, we hear from Kyle. He writes, I love Through the Bible. I'm currently on my third trip with you. The thing that surprised me the most during our journey together was learning that Jesus is in every book of the Bible. I had no idea. In fact, until I rode through Exodus, I thought the second half of Exodus was one of the most tedious and boring sections of Scripture. But Dr. McGee taught me that Jesus is in every part of the tabernacle, every post, every stand, every curtain, every fiber in every curtain, and every piece of tabernacle furniture speaks of Christ. How wonderful. While the second half of Exodus may not be my favorite section of Scripture, I now read it with new perspective, awe, and reverence for it. Well, thanks for sharing your story, Kyle, and I agree, that study in Exodus changed my perspective as well. I'm so glad that you've hopped aboard the Bible bus with us. Now, here's some good news from Michael in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for your continued teaching. I heartily pray for our friends around the globe with you almost every day and listen to your program just the same. In fact, my parents began listening to Dr. McGee when I was just 5 years old. Those seeds of truth are watered still today as I soon turn 43 and still sit daily under this priceless ministry. Through physical trials and coinciding addiction, our faithful Father delivered me, this prodigal, again and again until I admitted my helplessness. The Lord picked me up, miraculously restored me, and has assigned me to serve in addiction recovery. Friends of the Savior are there. We share the truth. Just this month, two friends in our program confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for building me up to testify with the daily bread provided in God's Word. May your every effort be multiplied in His good pleasure. God is good. Thanks for sharing with us, Michael. And may God bless your ministry as you share His love with others. God has begun a good work in you, and He will continue it to completion. Our last note, this one, is from Cody in Texas. Thank you for all the sound teaching. I have been on the Bible bus since 2010, right before I was about to graduate college. Dr. McGee, I called him Grandpa McGee, has helped me understand the Bible more than any other teacher I've had, save the Holy Spirit. I was drawn to his program because he speaks like most of the folks down here in my part of Texas. I also have a country boy accent, and what better way to understand someone than hearing it in your own tongue? Cody continues, I teach the teen class at our church. Through the Bible has helped me in leading these teens in their walk with Christ. Please pray for our little country church. We are in some spiritual battles and could really use the prayers of like-minded believers. And let's do that. Let's pray for Cody's church together and for our churches all around as we go about our days. And, you know, big or small, let's ask God to guard and guide them for His glory. Well, December is letter month, and we'd love to know how God's using His Word in your life and in your church. Are you learning something new as we study together? Are you sharing these great lessons with those around you? We really do want to hear from you. You can email us, that's super easy, biblebus@ttb.org is the address, or you can send your handwritten note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now let's pray for one another and get the Bible bus rolling. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the amazing power that your word has to change our hearts and lives. We pray, Lord, that your blessing on those listening today would go out and those who in turn share it with others. May your glory and goodness be a reality in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Here's our study of Proverbs 20 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come to the 20th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and as we do, we are proceeding in this section that we have said is so important because, very frankly, it sets before us the wisdom of Solomon, and it's particularly directed, in fact, rather specifically directed to young men. Now, I think it means not only young men, but it means to every Christian today. In fact, unbelievers can learn a great deal from this. I believe that the reading and study of the Word of God will bring you to God, or it'll certainly drive you from Him. It'll have a definite effect upon your life, and it will do just that. Now, as we move on in this, I want to begin today with this first verse, and this is the first time that we've had any warning concerning alcohol or concerning the use of booze, if you please. I like that name for it because that has all the connotation of the evil that liquor and booze has done down through the ages. And I suppose that alcohol has wrecked more homes, more nations, more businesses than anything else. There's nothing to compare to it in that particular connection. And it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I personally don't want to get into this controversy again, but it's my firm conviction that the Lord Jesus did not make an intoxicating drink at the wedding in Cana, Galilee. Now, anyone that tries to make of him a bootlegger there is doing absolutely an injustice. Somebody gives me this argument. Well, you know that in that climate, in that day, that all you had to do was to put that grape juice in a wineskin, and in time it would ferment. Yes, but the Lord Jesus started out with water, and in a matter of a few seconds he had wine. My friend, it didn't have a chance to ferment. No possibility at all. And then you must remember that this was a wedding there in Cana of Galilee, and that in a religious service like that, everything that had to do with leaven was forbidden and would not have been included at all. And that's the reason at the time of the Passover, the wine could not have been fermented. That would be the working of leaven. And leaven was forbidden in bread, and it would be forbidden in the drink also. The bread and drink could not have been that. So that this thing is condemned in the Word of God. And here is the verse for it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And today, how many folk are being trapped by this sort of thing? America is becoming a nation of drunkards. I do not know about you, but I'm not impressed when the press and the news media always let us know the tremendous amount of taxes that comes in from the sale of liquor. Well, may I say to you, they always forget to tell you about the hospitals, the insane institutions, and the number of people that have been maimed for life by drunken driver. That is not reported today. And I understand that that type of news is suppressed because one of your biggest advertisers are the makers of booze. And that today is as bad as drugs. I understand at the very beginning, and I get this from a man that actually is with law enforcement, and I'll not even attempt to identify him. He said to me, he said, you know, at the very beginning, the liquor interests help fight the drug traffic because of the fact that they were afraid it was going to hurt their business. They'd much rather have a kid become a drunkard of alcohol than become a drug addict. And you know, that sure was generous of the liquor industry. You just can't think of them being so big-hearted. They didn't want the kids to become drug addicts, but they would, you know, make them alcoholics. That is not bad, of course. And as a result, though, they began to see that people were beginning to make the comparison. Several of these youth groups came forward, and they made the statement that they didn't feel that if they were going to smoke marijuana, that the crowd that was going to tell them not to do it ought not to be sitting around drinking cocktails. And you know, I felt like those kids had something when they said that. My friend, don't misunderstand me again now. I'm not for smoking marijuana, but I believe that that kid has as much right to smoke marijuana as you have to drink your liquor. my brother, I don't care who you are that's listening today. This idea that you can point your finger at these kids, let us stop drinking the liquor, then we can talk to our young people about smoking marijuana. I say to you today, the hypocrisy of those outside of the church is lots worse than the hypocrisy that's on the inside of it. This is the thing that was the undoing of Noah. And this is something that, from that day to the present hour, liquor has been a menace. Now, don't misunderstand me. Alcohol, if it's used right, is a medicine. But the minute that man transfers it over to the place of a beverage, that's when it becomes dangerous. And the number of alcoholics is increasing every year. It's one of the greatest tax burdens that we have today. But you don't get that through the news. And I'm of the opinion that this program will not be very popular on certain stations. In fact, we may get a notice that we either going to have to change our message or else get off. And may I say to you that it's a dangerous thing to lift your head against this hydra-headed monster that I think probably will bring our nation down. I don't think it's the missile coming over the pole that'll destroy us. I think that it is the liquor that is being sold today that's going to destroy our nation. Now let me move on to verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And that, my friend, is a very good one. A man who is a man does not want to carry on any kind of a contention or cause strife and continue it. And I think, frankly, that is a good mark of a Christian today. Someone has said the only ones you should try to get even with are the ones who have helped you. Now, you try to get even with them, but not try to get even with your enemy. And a smart man will not try to get even with his enemies. And it's a matter of being yielded to God. And as we have said before, that God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And it's on that basis God says, avenge not yourself. He says you depart from the pathway of faith when you attempt to take this into your own hands. You can't handle the matter. You're not capable of handling it. But God is, and he will handle it. Makes it a very marvelous, wonderful thing. Now, the child of God should remember what Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 4:5. Let your yieldedness be known unto all men. And Matthew Arnold called it, says, let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. How important that is. Now, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the winter. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You see, in wintertime, or when it's cold in that land, doesn't get too extreme, but that's the time to go out and plow your ground and prepare the soil for the spring planting. But the sluggard, the lazy, he says, it's too cold. I'll wait till it gets warmer. Well, when it gets warm, it's too late then to do your plowing and at the same time do your planting. And there's a note here, I would say, of humor in all of this. He'll not plow by reason of the winter. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Just too lazy to do it. You've heard about the man that had a roof that leaked. And he said that the reason he didn't repair it was because when it didn't rain, he didn't need to fix it. But he says when it was raining and it began to leak, then he'd get wet if he got up there and attempted to fix it. So that's the reason he hadn't done it. Too lazy. Now we come here to a set of proverbs that are together that to me at first seem totally unrelated. But there is apparently a relationship here that is based on certain words that speak of goodness and that which is right. I would say moral principles that are stated. Now let me read this whole section here and keep that in mind, and I'll emphasize the word as we go through, and it's in practically every one of the Proverbs, by the way. Verse 6, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? That is, here the word is goodness. And then verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. That's your word. his children are blessed after him. Verse 8, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. He scatters evil, you see. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? The word pure again, you see, that occurs here along with goodness. And then notice, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to Jehovah, that is, that which is false. And then, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And then, verse 12, the hearing ear and seeing eye, Jehovah hath made both of them. And the thought here is, use your head. God's given you eyes, he's given you ears. Listen and look. Look and listen. And that's not only good before you cross a railroad track, but that's good when you're facing life every day. Now, all through this are these moral principles emphasized, and there are two great thoughts here as I see them. First of all, we need to say this. Who can say, I have made my heart clean and pure from my sin? Well, can you? I'm sure that you cannot. No man by his own efforts, no man can at all claim to be pure. Who would dare to make that kind of claim? Even that little babe in the crib that gets red in the face, that's revealing a temper there. I thought my little grandson at first, he just seemed to be free of sin. He was so wonderful, but I found out, my, he'd get red in the face, hold his breath even. And I thought, you know, that he was not subject to the total depravity of man. But I told my wife, I said, you know, he's beginning to show some of the characteristics of his grandmother. And I'm of the opinion that no one can except one way. If you would be heaven bound, you must first be heaven born. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus said that to a religious man. We'd call him a good man. Now, no man can answer that question until he's come to Christ and said, I'm clothed now in the righteousness of Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. But I still have that old heart that I had before, and I have that old nature. But now, will you notice this, that goodness does count, and integrity does count before the throne of God. And purity is worth something. And a child of God is going to walk in a way in which he commends the gospel of the grace of God. Here's a good question. I've heard it for many years. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Suppose you were brought up before a court in Russia today. They said, this fellow's a Christian. Would there be enough evidence there to convict you? Or would you be able to get all free and say, look at my life. Well, I didn't live like a Christian. I didn't walk in integrity. There was no goodness in my life, no desire for purity. And God says now, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God gave you that. God has given you a certain amount of gumption, friend, a certain amount of common sense. And God says, open your eyes. God says, unstop your ear. God says, stop, look, and listen. I got news for you. You can't make yourself pure, but I can give you that standing before God. I can remove the guilt of your sin and then enable you to walk in integrity in this world. This is a fine set of proverbs, by the way. Now, verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. What he's saying here is go to work. And you remember that's what Paul said to the Thessalonians. If a man doesn't work, he's not to eat. You know, a great many were running out saying, I'm looking for the Lord to come. Now, it's wonderful to look for him to come, but you won't run out and start gazing into space. It's going to cause you to put your nose to the grindstone and work harder than you ever had before. Then here's another one that's good. Verse 14, and this is humorous, and I hope you see the humor of it. Bad, bad, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasts it. A fellow goes in, you know, to buy something, buy an automobile, and he says, oh, I don't want this car. Look here, tires are not what they ought to be. Look like they're worn. and that motor doesn't sound too good, and there's a rattle back here. Oh, I'll give you so much for it. The man says, all right, I'll sell it. Fella says, well, I don't think it's worth it, but I'll buy it. Now he gets in the car and he drives home, calls his wife out and the neighbors. He said, look what a bargain I got. You see, man, that's human nature, isn't it? Now we have here verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Our sense of values today are all wrong. Men today are measured by material things, not by the fact whether they have knowledge or not. Verse 16, take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. There are certain people that you better have them put up a little collateral, my friend. If you don't, you'll sure be taken in. Verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but after it his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You may think you're getting by with it, my friend, but you're not, because God's going to see to that. Now, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The man that flatters you to your face and then goes off and gossips about you, you better keep your eye on him. Even when he's a deacon in the church, you better watch him. I was a pastor for a long time. Verse 20, whoso revileth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. My friend, if you have a father and mother you can boast of, then boast of them. But if you can't say something good about them, and a lot of folk can't, then don't say anything. That's what this proverb was. You know, that's where Ham made his mistake. His father Noah got drunk. Poor Ham, he exposed it, you see. Should have kept his mouth shut. There's certain things that you just don't run around and tell everything about. Then we want to go down to verse 24. Man's goings are of Jehovah. How can a man then understand his own way? Only the Spirit of God, you see, we can be led, because we've never passed this way before. God told Moses that. I need to lead you. And God says that to you and me before. And then, verse 25, it's a snare to a man rashly to say it's hallowed, and after vows to make inquiry. The thing that he's saying here, and we're going to come back to it, don't make a vow until you're sure of what you're going to do. Don't go down in a meeting and dedicate your life till you thought it over, my friend. God doesn't want that kind of a sentimental decision, and there's too much of that today. Then we are told the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the depths of the soul. I don't have time to go into this other than this, that the light is by the oil that's put in the lamp. Man's just a lamp, and until we're filled by the Holy Spirit, we don't become a light. Only the Word of God can give us light. We're just a lamp. And you remember those 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish. They had lamps, but they didn't have the oil to make the light. That was the big problem that they had. And then let me just mention one other, and that is next to the last. Verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray hair. The thing is, act your age. A young man is the one to be the athlete. The old man, he better not try to act young. Don't make a fool of himself. He better act his age. And he ought to reveal a little wisdom, because that's what gray hair should indicate. Our time is up, so until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
As we go today, I'd like to remind you that the Bible Bus continues in your community and in more than 250 languages around the world because of God's grace and the fruitful prayers and financial support of listeners just like you. If God has used this ministry in your life, you know we'd love to have you partner with us. You can simply mail your tax-deductible gift for 2023 before December 31st to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or for those in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1, or make your gift online at ttb.org/give. And of course, it would be our sincere pleasure to thank you personally when you call in your gift to 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now be sure to join us next time and into the new year as we continue this great study in Proverbs. We've learned so many practical things, and there are so many more lessons yet to be discovered. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save a seat on the Bible Bus just for you. Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, what a mighty, mighty service that we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there. And I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking Him for everything that He's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that He's right there where you are. If you love Him and want to give your heart to Him, He can do this very same thing that we experienced on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in His heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word. Because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that there are many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem. And He's the problem solver, and He will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way, everything will be according to His plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like Him throughout this earth. We want to praise Him and thank Him for everything, because apart from Him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because He and He alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift Him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that He loves you so much until He went to the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrow, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be, He took it and nailed it to His cross so that you will have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in Him. Praise God. In St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received Him. See, you have to receive Him. You have to open up your heart and ask Him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agencies. And we have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, our sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there in verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world.
Amen.
It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. Yeah. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Yeah. Amen. So,
in John,
yes,
3:16 says, "For God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs and clapping your hands and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness and disease and grief and sorrows. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Gloria, would you read the 17th verse there? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
"For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
That the world through him might be saved. See, now I want to tell you something. That you see, Buddha cannot save you. And there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian God, let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, "Well, that's my God." Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those immortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he won't go against your will. He loved you so much until he would wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus, it was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. And we're talking today about salvation. Mm-hmm. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yes, coming back.
And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name. Have the authority that's been given to us through his name. And thank him for everything that he's done. Mr. Glory, would you read Revelation 3 and verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, qualifier, any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come into him and him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Lewis, you know, he will not knock the door down.
No.
This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference. The one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing by behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God, and from that's figurative language, but the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a doorknob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances of the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. A lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him. Because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Ms. Girl, you have something you want to share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we're born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No. There may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful
praise
name
the
of our
Lord
God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Gloria, was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1, where He says that He has delivered us.
All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That He came to save you. Mm-hmm. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4.
Yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just come on His own. And there's going to be another time when He comes. The Father's going to send Him to get His children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in Radio Land, and even if you don't know Him, you get yourself right with God and be one of His children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
praise
wonderful.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, woohoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call Him Daddy. We can call Him Daddy because we belong to Him. But those out there in Radio Land, they're that you can't call Him Daddy because you're not one of His children, but you can be. God is no respecter of person, and like I said, He loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, He still loves you. And He's given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to Him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not His will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something? God doesn't want you to perish.
Nope. He wants all to come to repentance.
Amen. Oh,
yeah.
In Him is life.
Yes.
And this is why He wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when He's going to come. And we don't know what He looks like. But we do know one thing, that when He comes back, we'll be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is.
Amen.
And I want you to see Him as He is. But the only way that you can see Him as He is that you have to be like Him. Praise God. You have to be one of His children. Amen. Because He's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Gloria, would you just read that for a moment?
Okay.
Since that popped up in my spirit, because He's coming back a second time.
Yes.
Praise God, without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, He did.
And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they are going to church. The question is, are you looking for him? Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today, where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
As children of God, we occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
Well, first John.
Yes.
1 John 5, amen.
Amen, praise God.
Where it says, read 11, and 5, 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, and his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life, but they are condemned. And you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes, I'm talking about the same clothes that Lazarus had on to a certain extent there. Grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder, or I don't speak evil of people. All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness.
Yes, they're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that will get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Miss Garner?
And Jesus said, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing or having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on camp, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much.
Amen.
This is why he went there on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. That's what he's done. Die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, minutes ago, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in? Because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
No. For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why, not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, is vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, did you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.